This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Spartans are sweet again.
Congratulations on advancing.
I'm not sure seats matter like they used to, Rich.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Eric Musselman has his shirt off.
My wife, you know, she let me know that was not a good thing, not to do it again.
Today's guests: Bengals tackle Orlando Brown Jr., Princeton head coach Mitch Henderson, Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield, Bears wide receiver DJ Moore. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. We're also live on Sirius XM Odyssey. We're live. We're free on the Roku channel every single day from noon to 3 Eastern time. We are live on every Roku device that there is known to man. We're live on select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, the RokuChannel.com. You miss anything, our Roku channel feed, the stream, it's on channel 210 on the Roku channel. We re-air every single day. We're also available on our podcast form. We slice up this show, pop it on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for all of that. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman, in your usual spot. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
I mean, I'm dry at the moment, I guess.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is not here once again today. He's preparing for tonight's baseball game.
Yeah.
Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. By the way, when I say that sort of thing, I'm thrilled to see you. I just don't understand why Mike needs the day off so he can do a night game.
I believe you.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle. How are you?
Candles lit. I remember the days when it didn't rain.
I know.
I don't. No,
it's very hard. Do you think people really care across the country that it's raining in Los Angeles?
Absolutely not.
It's kind of like sideways.
It's kind of like complaining about your poker hand, right? Everybody's got a bad beat.
Yeah, but it's been raining for 3 months.
Complaining about your
now.
Fantasy team that's been great all year long, and then you get to the playoffs and there's no games to be played. None of your guys are playing. So, I mean, that happens too. Do you want people? Should I start the show with my fantasy team that was dynamite all year and I can't get anybody to play a basketball game this week?
You've been talking endless smack for 20 weeks.
That's true.
Endless.
Well, that's because I won 16 of the 19 weeks.
Here we go.
And now you're just like, congrats, Don, on moving on. Yeah. You're just like, it's Monday.
Yeah, relax.
Wow, I can count games.
You can count games.
I can count games. I can count how many games my guy's available.
Why are we not in Vegas right now?
I'm going against Embiid, who had another huge night last night.
Yeah, took the L.
And a four-game week for your Philadelphia 76ers. And they battling out with Brockman's Celtics for the 2 seed right now. That's of interest in the NBA right now. The Knicks and the Cavs are battling for the home playoff spot in the 4-5 series. 54 points out of Julius Randle last night. Still can't beat the Timberwolves in Madison Square Garden. The Timberwolves don't have their two best players.
Crazy.
We're waiting to see how everything shakes out in the play-in game. My guy, I love Damian Lillard. He basically waved the white flag saying we're out of it for the 10 seed.
Man.
And second week of April is when the NBA play-in tournament begins, so that's coming into the final throes. We've got NCAA tournament action coming up on Thursday night. We're talking to Mitch Henderson, the head coach of Princeton basketball, later on today. So, former Princeton player, he played with Pete Carril and bouncing UCLA all those years ago. Now he's bouncing Arizona and Missouri to make the Sweet 16. Wow. Princeton making its way into the Sweet 16 for the first time. I guess in the field of 64, they used to make the Sweet 16. Then when they were just like, 32 teams? Just got to beat one. You got to just win one game, you're in the Sweet 16.
Like,
back when Bill Bradley was winning Princeton tournament basketball games, taking on Creighton in Louisville. So I imagine he's either in Kentucky today or making his way from South Jersey to Kentucky. So we'll talk with him in hour number two. We've got half of the team captains of Oklahoma Sooner football from the 2018 season. Or 2017 season into 2018 when they were drafted. We have Orlando Brown Jr. now protecting Joe Burrow in Cincinnati after, by the way, talk about guys that he's protected. Lamar Jackson, he was drafted in the same draft as Lamar Jackson by Baltimore in 2018. Then he gets traded to Kansas City where he's protecting Patrick Mahomes. And he was part of that offensive line that shut out Philadelphia in the Super Bowl this year. And then He hits the free agent market. The Chiefs choose not to franchise tag him, let him walk. And lo and behold, he's now protecting Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
How about that?
No slouches. And this is after he protected our second hour guest, Baker Mayfield, in college. So he knows how to protect significantly talented quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield chiming in from Tampa, where he's the new quarterback.
Love it.
We haven't spoken to him in forever.
It's been a while.
So years. It has been years, right?
Yeah.
So now he's here on the program, or at least he'll be calling in from Tampa, Florida. And then DJ Moore, the new Chicago Bear, will be joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show in hour number three. Good times on all of that.
Rich, you skipped over something about Orlando Brown real quick.
What did I skip over?
Well, played for the Ravens. What did Lamar Jackson do? Won MVP.
Uh-huh.
Went to the Chiefs.
Oh.
What did Patrick Mahomes do? He won MVP. Now he's going to Cincy. Brockman, do we put our money on Joe B? Yes.
For MVP?
1, for MVP? 1,
should we bring this up to Orlando Brown Jr.?
I'm just saying. He's got the magic touch there.
Look at TJ Jefferson producing from the corner.
TJ, great job. Joe Burrow, 7-1 to win MVP right
Let's,
now.
Hey, put 100 on him.
100 what?
Cents.
Okay. Well, all you have to do is put 80 down because Brockman still owes you 20 from last year's draft.
Touche.
And he's the one who'd probably be putting the bet in for it.
That is true. Touche. So.
He is my guy when it comes to
such
things.
Your guy when it comes to his own.
Everybody needs a guy. It's all I'm saying.
You're my guy. So.
Hey, you know who's not the guy yet in New York?
We need like a little graphic, like days, you know, just waiting on Rodgers.
Days without Aaron.
Days without Aaron.
My face is frozen like this right now.
Something, you know.
Do not adjust your television screen.
You know, it's not the guy yet in New York. Aaron Rodgers, hey. There. Where Aaron might be up the coast here, getting rained on in Malibu.
I'd say that's a
doing his workouts, going through his workouts.
Workouts.
I bet you he is up there.
I don't know. Could be in New York already, looking at real estate, knowing that he's going to wind up there. He could be looking in New Jersey for real estate, knowing he could wind up there.
Come on, because
it's the New York metropolitan area. You know, it's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. Mark Murphy is the president of the Green Bay Packers. And if you read all the deep dives on Rodgers and the latest deep dive, I think you sent it to me, right, Chris? Send it around the group text chain in the Ringer?
Mm-hmm.
Or you tweeted it out or something like that?
It out.
Okay,
it
I read
really,
that. Thanks
really
to your
story.
Tweeting it out.
Really good story.
All right, doing deep dives on Aaron Rodgers and where things turned and what's going on in his head. And you peg the Rodgers turn in Green Bay to Ted Thompson being the general manager one day and the guy who brought Rodgers in and sent Favre to the Jets and then started building around Rodgers, and then no longer it's Ted's gig, it's Brian Gutekunst's gig, and we all know how that's turned out. Well, I mean, they drafted Jordan Love, and then Rodgers did come up with two MVP seasons. But anyway, long story short, Rodgers is not yet a Jet, and Mark Murphy and the Gutekunst-led Packers are finally on the verge of turning to Jordan Love, as Rodgers saw coming too. We've seen it all coming. Rodgers is going to be a Jet. The Packers can't keep him. Jets need him. Rodgers wants out. We call it a win for everybody to get this deal done, but it's not done yet. Nuh-uh. Mark Murphy spoke at, what's this called, a tech conference? A Wisconsin Tech Summit.
Oh, I like that.
In Lambeau Field.
Good fantasy name.
Who knew there was such a thing? Hey, there's tech in all 50 states. Why not Wisconsin? You're one of the 50 states.
Everything sounds better when you call it a
tech
summit.
It's a, you know what? This is a Rich Eisen Show Tech Summit. You know why? Because we're streaming on a lot of tech.
What I'm saying.
You're listening to us on a lot of tech. So we have now reached the portion of the Rich Eisen Show Tech Summit.
See how much better that sounds?
To play a soundbite for you through your tech of Mark Murphy talking into some piece of tech. Technically, a trade that we know is going to happen hasn't happened yet. Roll it.
Obviously, we have the draft coming up. You're in free agency. It might be-
yeah, and you know, we've got no other news really going on. You know, just- I would love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I've under sworn secrecy not to say anything.
I like Mark Murphy a lot. I do. I've met him many different times. I've had, you know, nice chit chats with him. Nice guy. You know what the Jets should do? The Jets should drag this. They should drag it out. They should drag it out.
They should.
Yes, why? They should. Drag it out past the draft. Drag it out past the draft. That's what they should do.
Because
they should use the draft choices.
Yeah, because the Packers couldn't get any choices to help Jordan Love.
Yeah. No. You just suddenly, yeah, okay. Use the draft choices. We'll use them. Because we know eventually you're going to give them to us because you're not keeping them. Oh, September 1st. That's a long day. Can they actually go all the way through training camp and all that business? Nobody wants to do that. The Jets should drag it out past the draft. Do me a favor, Chris.
What do you got, Rich?
You were talking about the newest mock draft.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah.
My man, Daniel Jeremiah.
Of course.
A.K.A. Move the Sticks.
Yeah, buddy.
I will be sitting with him on the draft set.
Mock draft 3.0.
Ah, it's his third one. Tell me who he said. Who does he have the Jets drafting 13th overall?
Rich.
That everybody in New York thinks willy-nilly. Let's just flip that first-round pick to Green Bay. Go for it.
13th overall.
Yeah, who are the Jets? Who does he have Jets drafting?
Edge rusher from Georgia. Nolan Smith.
Yeah, let's just flip Nolan Smith the opportunity to take the fastest defensive end I've seen at the Combine and a delightful human who called into the show to talk about his life and his journey.
Daniel called him the most explosive edge rusher in the draft.
Why do the Jets need him? They desperately need Rodgers. You get my point. And here's the interesting thing is that we are all assuming it's Gutekunst holding up the Jets and the Jets holding up the Packers, that they haven't agreed to that. Why do I have a sneaky suspicion that that's all been hammered out and this is a financial situation at stake? Why do I have this feeling? I don't know. My spidey sense is going off there, too. When Rodgers says doing right by him. What does that mean? Doing right by him to let him go now and the draft compensation that's coming back from the Jets to Green Bay. Is that doing right by Aaron? Don't gut the Jets of the ammunition to reload it with youth. Like, that's what his concern is? He wants more young guys on the team all of a sudden? Is that what it is? Why is Rodgers talking about doing right by him? There's a lot going on here. And we don't know what's going on. As Rodgers likes to point out, we don't know.
Rich Eisen or whatever his name is.
But all I'm saying is nobody's going to come into the Rich Eisen Show Tech Summit. Tell me to give up a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers right now when it could be Nolan Smith of Georgia that the Jets can get another young Turk to come in with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall and the rest of those young kids and sit around and say nobody believes in the Jets. Let's get somebody who said everybody thought Georgia was only going to win 6 football games. On their way to rampaging the rest of college football.
That was silly.
Let's get that guy. Oh, no. You know what? Desperately need Aaron Rodgers so much. Just let's give up that opportunity. Unless it's all about money. And we don't know. But one thing we do know, Aaron Rodgers not yet the man in New York.
Yeah.
So, that's part of our backdrop of this world today. As we hit our first commercial break of this Tuesday program right in the middle of March 2023 on a day where we not only talk to Orlando Brown Jr. coming up next and Baker Mayfield now of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mitch Henderson now of the Sweet 16, head coach of the Princeton Tigers basketball, and then DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers, of formerly the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, it's like 2011 all over again. They have the first overall pick, and Cam Newton's working out at an Auburn pro day.
Hey, now.
What year is it? DJ Moore now a Chicago Bears, we know. So, let's take a break here on this 2023 version of the Rich Eisen Show. Orlando Brown Jr., formerly of the Chiefs, now the Cincinnati Bengals, coming up. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and one-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Have you noticed how a lot of insurance commercials are kind of gimmicky? They've got jingles and mascots, and they try to be real cute and clever. But really what matters, in fact, it's the only thing that matters, is the insurance, which is why I want to tell you about NJM. Because for over 100 years, NJM has been going about their business protecting their clients' biggest investments, their homes and their cars, with award-winning customer service. The most important thing is knowing you have the right coverage with a company you can rely on when you need them. And that's NJM. When you apply for an auto, home, or renter's policy, NJM will work with you to ensure you get the coverage that's just right for you. And when you upgrade to NJM, you could save real money on your auto insurance. Better service and possible savings. No jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. NJM. Visit njm.com/podcast for a quote to see how much you could save on your auto insurance. njm.com/podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, part of the Rich Eisen Show live stream right here on the Roku channel. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We're going to get Orlando Brown Jr. on the phone here from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's not yet on?
Not yet on.
All right. I did not see the World Baseball Classic semifinal between Mexico and Japan. Just saw the highlights of it. Saw Japan take the lead, if not for Randy Arozarena just leaping up and making the most nonchalant home run stealing grab I've ever seen.
He's so
good.
To
the point where, so casual, and he kept such a stone face to it.
Just like,
that I would never want to play poker with Randy Arozarena. I believe even the hitter needed just hold up the ball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like show me that you got
show
it.
Show me that you got it.
Yeah.
Like he was slow playing a home run stealing grab. I've never seen that before.
Me neither. It was tremendous.
And then Japan fell down 3-0, got a three-run jack, tying up from the future Boston Red Sox star, right?
Yeah, Yoshida, man. He's had a great WBC. Came through last night.
Tied it up, Mexico takes the lead, and then Japan walks it off.
Walks it off. Otani went off the inning, double. Another guy gets on, jack off the wall.
Future New York Yankee, Shohei Otani, scoring the game-winning run.
Only in your dreams, my
friend. That is true. We all know the Mets are going to spend way more than anybody else.
Oh, it's going to be so amazing.
Future New York Met. Well, he's not a Met yet. You know why? We know why. Because he's still not hurt in the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, here you go.
And so, is it too soon?
I mean, you're trying to take a swipe at me, and, you know, you're disrespecting.
I'm not trying to take a swipe.
I think you are, and that's just wrong.
That's wrong.
By the way, speaking of Arozarena, do you see the man's, after he robs a home run, he's signing autographs in the middle of the game?
In the middle of the game.
It's great.
Disrespect is real.
You know, well, he's
in the middle of the game,
and
he's
wearing that giant sombrero pregame, talking to Big Papi and Pedro. Like, it was just a really fun, wild, crazy atmosphere, an awesome game. Two countries going at it. Tonight's game is arguably going to be the most watched baseball game of all time ever in the history of the world.
because
Japan
it's,
and
because
USA.
Because everyone in Japan is
everyone
tuned
in Japan is going to be tuned in to watch.
And everyone in America is
casually going to tune
okay,
in.
Okay.
Unless you're a hardcore baseball fan.
I just want to know what you're going to I'll watch it tonight.
I don't think the patriotism really follows the sports world when it comes to us sometimes. Because we all should be watching this.
I mean, I think Olympics is dialed up on the patriotism. World Cup, too.
Well, I mean, that's when you said yesterday in Overreaction Monday, it's the greatest
it's better than the World
exhibition
Cup.
tournament that's ever been had. And
it's better than the World Cup because USA's going to win tonight.
You don't call a World Cup an exhibition, but I guess you can. I mean, because
right.
it does.
This is an exhibition.
Well, I mean, it matters significantly on a national scale for these home countries.
I would say the players are very, very invested.
You could see they're really into
it. They're having such a great time, and all the Keith Olbermans of the world can just pound sand. Like,
okay,
get off my lawn, Keith. I mean, come on, enjoy the games. They've been amazing.
I'm sure he enjoys the game. I mean, I don't want to ever speak for him. He enjoys the games, just, you know, seeing guys go down for the season.
Injuries are fluke. Injuries are, you know, bad luck of happenstance. Like, it could happen at any moment. I could slip and fall walking home.
Be careful. It's raining outside. I don't know if you know that.
That's why I said that.
It's raining sideways!
So that's tonight's game. Who's starting? Do we know who's starting?
Not clear yet. I got to check that out. Darvish was supposed to start for Japan tonight, but I don't think he.
Who's starting for the for the Americans? Who's starting for us? Now that I'm invested.
Now you're in, Rich. You're in.
You don't even know. You love this exhibition so much. It's the greatest thing ever. The most people are going to watch it, and you don't even know.
A guy named Merrill Kelly.
There you go. Can't wait.
I also say Rose Arena probably had the coldest reaction to doing something amazing since Robert Horry hit that shot against the Kings.
But you could see the ball going through the net. You knew it was an actual score. His reaction was different. Yeah. This one, you need to actually know, did you catch the ball or not?
True.
And his reaction was, again, you know, when you're playing poker, I've called you, turn your cards over.
You have aces or not.
So when you hit the ball damn near over the fence, you call somebody else's hand. Show your hand, literally, what's in your glove.
Man, that was cold-blooded.
It sure was.
I mean, this is cold, man.
It sure was. Joining us now on the Rich Eisen Show for the first time, I do not believe he has been a guest on this program, but as we've pointed out, he is absolutely going to the very top of the flow chart when it comes to him protecting quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, our second hour guest in college, then Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. What did he do when he was in Baltimore?
Lamar won MVP.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And when this guest was in Kansas City, his quarterback last year.
His quarterback was Patrick Mahomes.
And what did he do?
He won the MVP.
So Joe Burrow is going to be the MVP because Orlando Brown Jr. is now on the Cincinnati Bengals, joining us in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Orlando?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you for having me on. That was a heck of an introduction.
I figured you would like that. The props to T.J. Jefferson here on the Rich Eisen Show. You pointed that out, T.J.
It's a group effort.
Do you realize that the guys that you protect turn into the MVPs? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of do, man. It's a little weird being the one constant, but I've been very fortunate to be a part of some really good organizations, man, blocked from some amazing quarterbacks, playing to some great coaches as well. So it's all worked out really well for me.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Why are you a Cincinnati Bengal right now, Orlando?
Yeah. I just, you know, for me, it was just the best fit. You know, obviously, given the circumstances, man, I felt like, you know, it's an organization that's right there on the cusp of being a Super Bowl team. And they were just in that game 2 years ago. I've played them my whole time I've been in the NFL. I've played against them the last 2 years in the AFC Championship. So I kind of knew the type of coaches they had, front office and players, and camaraderie they got in that locker room. So it was definitely a situation that was very hard for me to pass up.
Is it because you wanted to sit in a stone throne and hold this big, large stick? Is that what it was? I mean, you could have done this in Kansas City, but it would have been odd. Is that what it is?
I hear you,
Orlando. We're showing that picture right now. I mean, but again, I think I, you know, look, you're a smart guy, and so I'll just go right through the door. You're in Kansas City. You win a Super Bowl. You're part of an offensive line that shuts out one of the most stout front sevens we've seen win in NFC Championship in Philadelphia. It would strike me as a spot that you'd want to stay. So I guess what happened there that you're willing to share, Orlando?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to stay, but you know, man, sometimes, you know, in the sport, especially on this level, it's a lot of business that goes on. And, you know, there are business decisions on my side, Kansas City side, that kind of, you know, brought us to this point. And, man, I would have loved nothing more than to be a Chief for the rest of my career. But, like I said, man, business is business. And the way that things work out, they work out. And I have no animosity. I'm very excited for the opportunity to be a Bengal. And, man, I mean, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate how it worked out, but man, business is business at the end of the day. My loyalty resides with who feeds my family.
And obviously, you can definitely eat as a Cincinnati Bengal. And
no,
you would know as a former Chief that you're going to most likely face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game now as a Bengal. So, what have you learned so far at all, if anything? I know it's just a first week of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, man, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him for the first time, man, and I mean, it's clear and understood why he's one of the best in the game. He's got a ton of football knowledge. He really loves the game. He loves to work. You know, he's not in it for the clout, man. He's in it for the Super Bowls. And, you know, he's not even in it for the personal accolades. You know, this is a guy that really cherishes competing, cherishes playing ball. And, you know, he's got that basketball-like mindset somewhat. You know, he's a guy that loves basketball, and he loves the opportunity to win his one-on-ones. And, you know, I say that hypothetically speaking, obviously from the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loves that. He loves to compete. And, you know, for me as an offensive lineman, I mean, I couldn't ask for more. You know, obviously coming from some of the players that I've already played with, you know, I can see that similar, like, mindset in him.
And so Burrow, from what I've been told, has this cool demeanor in the huddle and all the time. What was he like just chit-chatting with him?
Oh, no, super cool, man, super cool. I definitely say that nickname is fitting.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about last year and what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs and how things started to just catch fire for you guys towards the end. What did click for this team upon, you know, we all know about what the offseason changes and things of that nature, but what do you think did click for the Kansas City Chiefs that got you a ring, Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the sport of football, man, you know, especially when you're a team that's got a quarterback like 15, I think it's important not to peak too early. And so often, you know, we see teams come out firing in September, firing in October, and by the time they get to January, they aren't the same team that they were then. And I think Coach Reed, the staff, 15, everyone did an amazing job all year, staying the course. We were battle-tested. We had been in some very tough games, some dogfights, but we were battle-tested, and we just understood, you know, the assignment and understood what we needed to do. And I feel as though throughout the season, throughout each week, we just got hotter and better and hotter and better and hotter and better. And I feel like we played our best game in Super Bowl 57. And it, as I said, it was a real tough year, you know, as far as, you know, some of the losses that we had and even some of the wins we had. You know, to be able to win that AFC West Championship in Houston was crazy. I mean, that was a dogfight. That game was insane. And, you know, you see kind of the way that it ended. But, man, I mean, and there were so many different games like that throughout the season that really tested us, and we were able to prevail.
What was 15, you're referring to Mahomes by his uniform number, what was he like coming back in the huddle after he hurt his ankle and you knew something significant had happened?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of, you know, you kind of felt that energy on the sideline. You know, I mean, it was just like, Pat's one of the most fiercest competitors, and it's the reason he's number one player in this league because of the way that he competes and the way that he approaches the game. And he's got a ton of faith in his work ethic. So coming in that huddle, I mean, it was just kind of understood, like, hey, man, we're here for a reason. We didn't come to play in the Super Bowl. We came to win it. Nothing much, honestly, not much was said except for at halftime there. And I mean, it's like I said, it's just one of those things, man. You kind of understood, you know, we had been tested all year. 15 had been dealing with his ankle. And I mean, man, it's just, you know, he's one of the most fiercest competitors I've ever been around in my life.
You got an example of that? Cause you know, we're hearing more and more about that. As the winning and the championships now are beginning to pile up now that it's multiple, you got a good example of his competitive spirit? Orlando?
Yeah, big time, man. I mean, I think, you know, take football aside, you know, they play a little bit of basketball in a locker room, and it's nothing seriously competitive, but Pat's going to make it competitive, and he's real big on winning. Me and Joe Tooney are elite at beer pong, elite teammates.
Okay.
And this is something that we play pretty often, and going against Pat and Trav, I mean, Pat's not going out without a fight. And it's something that, you know, the mentality and the mindset that he kind of carries throughout life and everything that he does, whether that be in the film room, whether that be something silly like bingo. I mean, it shows up day in, day out.
When you say elite, what's the example of what does an elite beer pong player look like? I mean, what do you got? What's elite? What's your what do you got for
like? I mean, man, just the consistency and the shots dropping.
Consistency.
Playing tip for tat, playing off of each other. I miss a shot, he makes it. I make a shot, he makes it. Balls are back. Mm. I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily complicated, but it's kind of what goes into it.
Okay. And then last one for you on the Chiefs here. Did you know that was a holding call on Bradberry? Did you see it? Was the play in front of you on Juju, or were you just you were obviously otherwise engaged and then saw a flag on the field in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was one of those situations where, man, I want to say Pat was kind of like falling back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, I can't remember how it necessarily transpired. I remember grabbing Pat, and he's like holding, and I look over, and it's a flag. And so I look at Philly's sideline to see their initial reaction. Their heads are down. I'm like, oh, snap. So it's obviously on the defense. And, man, I mean, he comes back in the huddle. He's like, church mode. You know, I think next play, Jet McKinnon kind of slides right there at the one. We were taking knees and trying to get the ball centered up. I mean, it was crazy how
so
that transpired.
Taking knees is called church mode in Kansas City? Is that what you're saying?
Church mode. Yeah, church mode is like a situation where you don't want to score. Don't ask me where it started. That's more of a question for Coach Reed.
Okay,
Coach Reed.
Got it. All right.
But yeah.
Okay. So, but right away, the clock management math was done on the spot, so everybody knew. And so it wasn't just McKinnon having a dawn on him around the 2 yard line to slide down in bounds. It was reminded in the huddle prior to all of that. That's what you're saying.
Oh, big time. And I don't ever want to take credit away from any player.
Sure.
But I mean, it's the NFL, man. Normally, all of those situations are practiced.
Got it. Orlando Brown Jr., a few minutes left with the new Cincinnati Bengal. Now it looks like you're going to tangle with your old team twice a year, obviously, in Baltimore. What insight to Lamar can you give all of us as we're sitting around wondering about what's going on with him and your former team? And you've obviously done business with them, and that's part of the reason why you wound up in Kansas City, left tackle, right tackle, what you thought you wanted to be. So what insight can you possibly give the rest of us right now, Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to the Lamar situation, it gets tricky because of how much money is involved at the quarterback position. And, you know, I'm with him on asking for a fully guaranteed contract because of the standard that's been set, obviously, with Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of money, and those things take time. The draft hasn't happened yet. These teams are trading up. Everyone's trying to see who's going to fall to them. What are their needs? What's important? Because at the end of the day, I mean, personally, the way that I kind of look at it is, and I know it's kind of said like this, but I don't believe this. I believe that the quarterback's pot is the quarterback's pot for a franchise. What Joe Burrow makes doesn't necessarily affect what Jamar Chase or T. Higgins is going to make. What Aaron Rodgers make, like, I personally feel as though those decisions are based off of however front office feels about that player,
mm-hmm.
as far as outside of the quarterback. So wherever Lamar goes, I believe that it's going to take a little bit of time. Some of these teams are probably still trying to figure out who's going to fall to them in a draft. And, I mean, I think he's going to end up in a great situation if it is somewhere else. I do know that, you know, obviously Baltimore has a special place in his heart. I know that the franchise definitely feels a special way about him as well. So, man, I mean, it's a tough situation to be in for any player, but it's also a good situation because, I mean, something good is going to come out of it for both sides.
I guess to put a finer point on it, Orlando, is what makes him tick? Because if it was about money, he could have already gotten an incredible chunk guaranteed. not all guaranteed. It seems like it's about the principle of it. And I don't, and that what makes him tick isn't what makes most people tick.
I don't even know if I could stand on that one for you. I he's another guy that just, he loves to win and he loves the quarterback position. I don't really have a ton of insight because I haven't really dove into it on him with that. But man, I mean, it's never been about the money for him. You know, it's definitely about winning. And, you know, I say it all to say, as players, you know, as you, what you do for a living, you know, it's all about respect as well as, you know, other things as far as winning too. So, you know, the principle, whatever that may be, I mean, I feel like that may be a little bit of it, but man, to him, I know what's most important is winning.
Last one for you, Orlando Brown Jr. I've got Baker Mayfield coming up next hour. You got a good story about you? You got a good story there you want to share?
Best Baker Mayfield story.
Yeah, what do you got?
Man, so I was in college. I was not paying my car note. I got my car snatched, and we just got out of breakfast. I'm looking for my car. I can't find my car. I see Bake in the parking lot. I'm like, hey, listen, they came and snatched my car. Come with me, bro. We're gonna go get my car back. I just need you to show face. They'll let me pay this car note. They'll let me pay half of what I owe if they just see your face. And so he was like, all right, let's do it. So he took me up there, show face. I got my car.
Just because it's Baker Mayfield and it's Oklahoma. And
hey, man, his name rings bells.
It's like The Price is Right. You get a brand new car. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, now, I mean, times are different now for you. You're good. You're good now. Congratulations. Congratulations on everything going on with you. Look for more of my phone calls. I would love to, you know, keep in touch and hear from you as you're now part of another new top notch winning organization in the league. So congrats on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Pleasure chatting with you, sir. That's Orlando Brown Jr. New 4-year, $60+ million contract in Cincinnati. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Show face. Wow. Only pay half my note. NIL money now too, man.
Damn. That's awesome.
That was a great interview, man.
Hey, Bake. They all have to pay half my note if you show up.
He said his name rings bells like Sunday at 12 o'clock. You know, just ding, ding.
Hey, Rich, can we try that when I'm getting a new car?
I don't think I've got that much juice for you.
Dang it.
I'll show, though.
All right, thanks.
My face might ring bells in Van Nuys or wherever you're going to pick up your car.
Who knows?
Keys.
Never know. Stop. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. You want to talk about a deflated market in the NFL, the running back market. Jeez. Austin Eckler scores touchdowns for a living and can't seem to get a gig with a long-term contract associated with it, not even from his current team or if he's shopping around. At any rate, that's coming up next. If you missed what Austin Eckler had to say on our friend Chris Long's pod, don't miss this. Coming up next on The Rich Eisen Show. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Back here on the program, great chat with Orlando Brown Jr. We got to get him in the mix during the season, don't you think?
I like that.
Yeah.
Next time he's on, I should have brought up to him. You know, the year he ran at the combine, he ran a time that Mayock called historically low. It was 5.85. I literally thought for the first time on the air I could get somebody. Oh, when yeah. he ran his 40. And he didn't have a very good combine. Just goes to show you, the evaluation process is just a piece. The combine is just a piece.
Yeah.
Because the guy who ran so historically slow is now historically enriched.
Say that again.
You know, so.
Tuesdays with Zeus during the regular season?
I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe so. Let's talk about this. The free agent market for running backs. It interests me because you've got, he's not a free agent. He's been told he can go look for a new team to be traded to. So it's kind of a restricted free agency, right? Because the Chargers can essentially match whatever Austin Eckler finds on the market for himself. He's in the last year of a deal. He's 28 now, or is he 27 turning 28? You all know the magic number for running backs is, unfortunately for him, the number on his back.
He'll be 28 in a couple months.
30 is what he wears, and he'll be 28 in a couple of months. And last year, 18 touchdowns. 18 touchdowns for him. He had 20 a year before. 30. Next closest guy in terms of touchdowns scored over the last 2 years to Eckler is 26 by James Conner of Arizona. Nobody can compare in terms of touchdown making for him. But he's a running back, so that you don't pay him. Why? And I think the example why is Isaiah Pacheco. The current world champs of the sport drafted Isaiah Pacheco out of Rutgers. Not exactly your, with all due respect, collegiate hotbed.
Nice sneaking that in.
I had to at the very last second because New Jersey, as you know, is a terrific football state.
They are a great okay. football state.
So Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick out of Rutgers, 830 rushing yards, leads the Kansas City Chiefs in rushing. 830. Doesn't even run for 1,000. So the defending champions of the sport did not need a running back to run for 1,000 yards. And they got a couple of touchdowns out of him on the year. Not many. They did get one in the Super Bowl, though. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. That you see all those kids at the combine. Who's this year's Isaiah Pacheco? There's going to be one. There's many of them in there. They look terrific at the combine. If you can draft somebody seventh round, all he does is run for 830 yards, and you're fine. Now, clearly, you have to have an offense like the Chiefs and an offense that where, by the way, you have an MVP at the quarterback position, but you also have an MVP at the tight end position. And that's where I want to expand this conversation. I looked it up because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. I don't know if you saw me taking notes before the show, sitting here at the desk. It's not just me doing things just to look busy.
Oh, we thought you just didn't want to talk to us in the morning.
That's true, too.
No.
That's what I thought, too.
18 teams had a leading rusher on their team with more yards than Pacheco. 18.
Wow.
And 8 made the playoffs. And we all know didn't win the Super Bowl. 13 teams were led by a rusher with fewer yards than Pacheco. Fewer. And 5 of them made the playoffs. And 2 of them that made the playoffs were led by quarterbacks. Baltimore and Lamar, Buffalo and Allen. So they made the playoffs even with a leading rusher with fewer rushing yards than Pacheco. Joe Mixon had 16 fewer rushing yards than Pacheco. Christian McCaffrey was the leading rusher for the San Francisco 49ers. And as we all know, he only showed up in October. And Leonard Fournette for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had fewer rushing yards, leading the Buccaneers, who were, by the way, a historically bad rushing team. But then there's the question of touchdowns here. Touchdowns. Eckler had 18 of them. And the crazy thing is you take a look at double-digit touchdown scores in the NFL. Only six were non-running backs. And one of them was Travis Kelce with 12. So they didn't, Kansas City, get their touchdowns from their running back. They got it from their tight end. It has to come from somewhere, right? The only other running back, non-running backs with double-digit touchdowns this year, Davante Adams with 14, Jalen Hurts with 13, Kelce with 12, Stephon Diggs, Kittle, and A.J. Brown with 11. That's it. Everyone else, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The other 14 double-digit touchdown makers in the NFL were running backs. Why are they devalued? They're the ones scoring. But the receivers, pay that guy his money. I guess it's because you can't find the receivers or the tight ends in the draft so quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, of that,
is that what it is?
Of that running back list, like, where were all those guys drafted?
I don't know where they were drafted, but Austin Eckler, we all know, wasn't highly drafted.
Right.
Jamal Williams was number two on the list. Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Chubb, Hurts, Zeke, Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Sanders, McKinnon, Cooks, Barkley, and Najee Harris. So take Hurts out of that mix because I put him in both columns by accident.
A handful of first-round picks there.
I get it, but why are the running back? This guy, Eckler, scored 18. Jamal Williams scored 17, and he winds up with the Saints on a sweetheart deal. So the NFL's getting their touchdowns from the running back position, but suddenly the Lions are like, yeah, we'll get those 17 from someone else. And the Chargers are like, to the guy with the 18 touchdowns, go find another team if you'd like. And the other teams are like, not jumping at the chance.
I guess
to get him.
If those touchdowns are inside the five, anybody can run it in from there. I don't know.
This is what Eckler had to say. I hope we still have the time for it. But it's what Austin Eckler had to say on our friend Chris Long's podcast.
Bro, it's brutal out here, man.
Yeah.
Like it's terrible.
Yeah.
As far as the running back market and how we're getting treated right now,
yeah.
What do we got to do to get paid as running backs to our actual value and not just be getting like, you know, a few mil when we're out here? Like I said, literally scored 20 touchdowns last year, 1,600 all-purpose yards, right? Like, and I can't get an extension. You're like, you don't want me here? Like, wait a minute. Am I missing something here? Like, what am I missing? So it's confusing and frustrating at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it. He's like, I've scored 18 touchdowns. Forget about the fact that I had 915 yards rushing, by the way, which is just a handful more than Pacheco, who I use as the guy for a reason. Drafted in the seventh round, scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs win it. You know, and so...
Are rushing touchdowns the new RBIs?
I don't know.
Batting average.
Because where do you think the Chargers are going to get those 18 touchdowns from? Maybe a couple more from Keenan Allen if Mike Williams stays healthy?
Yeah, the next guy they draft. Like I said, rushing touchdowns are inside the five, anybody can run those.
But he can also take it in from the 15 to 20. You could see that.
Oh, yeah.
He's a major red zone threat for this team. The Chargers feel like just you can walk. And why isn't another team saying, we'll take you? Yeah.
That's the thing.
38 touchdowns in 2 years. Who wants it?
Then how do they also account for his 107 catches last year on
that's another thing, too.
To everything else that this guy brings to the table. That's 107 balls caught.
That's why you're talking about rushing yards. That's one thing. It's touchdowns in the end zone, and it's the running back position that's scoring the touchdowns. Again, I have listed everybody who had double-digit touchdowns in the 2022 season. Six were non-running backs. And 13. Baker's dozen were running backs. But you pay the receivers and the tight ends and not the running backs. Because I guess you can get the next running back to join this double-digit touchdown list in the draft. Although I'm not seeing anybody who was a rookie last year on this list. Just food for thought. Coming up, Mitch Henderson of Princeton Basketball.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.